Saying.
Do you mind if I interrupt for a quick second?
Yeah, what's up?
So we're walking the neighborhood. Tomorrow night's our last night in the community. We're doing a park party over in Woods Grove Park. So not this one, but there's one kind of buffeted by a bunch of houses off 16.
Every Wednesday night.
Yeah, so tomorrow night's our last night.
Oh.
Free hot dogs, food,
what do you
fun,
guys do?
Games.
Who are you guys with?
So most of us are out of FRC, Faith Reformed Church.
Oh, Faith Reformed Church?
Yep.
Oh.
Off of Washington.
Uh-huh.
But specifically, it's just a park ministry that we're doing. We're not, you know, preaching anything direct, but we're primarily focused on connecting and meeting with the community. So
yeah?
We got a pretty good game of kickball going lately the last few weeks, so fun crafts, things like that, as well as food and fun.
You said you're not preaching anything direct, but let's preach.
Okay.
I'm a traveling street preacher. You probably saw my van. I travel the country and I preach the gospel all over America, and I just got to witness to a man right here who walked by, and in fact he mentioned your faith. What was it called?
Faith Reformed Church.
Right. He was asking me about some churches in the area, and we preach the gospel, and we call people to come out of the world. And we also have to call people to come out of the American church system. And the reason I say that is because if we know the gospel, and I can preach it to you real quick. If by faith you believe that Jesus Christ was fully man, fully God, came into the world and shed his blood and died and rose again, so that all those whosoever will place their faith in him have a chance of eternal life, correct? And because of what Christ has done, that death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible says his first ministry words were repent and seek the kingdom of God. Repentance is changing your mind and your ways. We had to come out of the world. We were the worst of the worst people of the world. Even when we were churchgoers, we were the people of the world. And we had a lot of sinful, bad habits that we had to repent of and come out of. And the Bible says, when you have faith in Christ and it's meaningful to repentance, the three areas of repentance that you have to struggle with in America are everywhere. Your flesh is one, because your flesh is an enemy. In America, the next one would be the culture, and that would be also everywhere. Hey, my brother Kevin's coming back later tonight if you wanted to swing back and meet us.
Okay.
Like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
All right, God be praised. We love you. So by faith, repentance, I was talking about culture. You got to repent of the flesh. You got to repent of the culture. There's two kingdoms, God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. This is Satan's kingdom. Politics, sports, movies, entertainment, it's not of God. This is Satan's kingdom. So you got to repent of that, and then churchianity in America. I preach in America. I mean, everywhere I go, there's churchianity buildings, and they're keeping a bunch of, we can get to those if you want, they're keeping a bunch of false man-made traditions, false gospels, Christmas, Easter, all these false ways. But let me finish the gospel. By faith, you must repent in those three areas. The Bible says when God sees a willing vessel, you'll be born from above. That's the fruit that God is working in you as you're born again. That's what happened to us. We were born again. We no longer wanted sin. We no longer wanted all those false ways. We began to strive for the kingdom of God. The fruit you're born again is not church attendance, not that you join a membership, or even that you get baptized in water, which I teach is biblical. But the fruit is holiness and obedience to God's word and his kingdom, not man-made ways. And the last part of the gospel is, are you guys married?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, wonderful. You have to endure. Do you believe you have to endure in your marriage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you got to endure in your faith. And a lot of systems, I don't know how yours is, they teach you to come, place your faith, raise your hand, say a prayer, get baptized, join a church, and you're going to heaven no matter what, because John 10 says, Jesus said, no one will take you out of my hands. You're going to heaven no matter what. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you got to endure in a saving faith. We have the hope of salvation. You have the hope of a successful marriage. So do I. I got to endure in it. Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. Paul even said, you have the hope of the gospel if you remember what I've preached to you, lest you believe in vain. So that's the gospel to eternal life. It's on our card. And our website, don'tperish.com, has thousands of articles that really show for free. We don't take anyone's money. That's another big knock against the church systems. They've monetized. They're doing things for God. They're trading for money. They're still taking the tithe from people. 80% of the church systems use 80% of their money for buildings and salaries. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the money went for in the New Testament body?
Outreach.
Preaching the gospel and widows and orphans. So this whole thing's been turned upside down. And what I would warn you to do is test your religious body. And we probably need to look into it. What was the name of it again?
Faith Reformed Church.
Faith Reformed Church. You got that right. Because the last guy talked about it too. So we'll probably look into it, and we'll probably do a testing because we love. And if you email me, I'll send you the test. Are you the pastor or anything?
I'm not.
Okay. What's the pastor's name?
We actually are between pastors right now.
It's what?
We're between pastors right now. Our pastor
passed away. Oh, between pastors. Yep. Okay.
He passed away from a brain tumor.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear he passed away. I hope he had, was
he's
repented
in
and knew Christ. Well, we don't know that, but we have a hope for people that have faith in Christ and have the fruit of it. But I'll probably do a testing because this second person brought it up today. And I would challenge you to test your faith because, see, what you're doing is nice for the community, having parties, but that doesn't do anything for the kingdom of God. And then if you say, well, that's just to get people to come to church, but then if you're not preaching the biblical gospel, you're not calling them out of the world, you're not calling them out of the church system, it sounds like you guys do Christmas and Easter, correct? These are pagan holidays. These are Roman Catholic holidays. This is not what God ordained. And that system sounds like it came along from the evangelical reformed. It came along from Luther and Calvin. Luther and Calvin, in love, I have to tell you, because they care for your souls. Luther and Calvin were murderous, baby-baptizing heretics. Did you know Luther said you baptize a Jew by throwing him in the river with a rock around his neck? And they used his writings, Adolf Hitler did, to stir up the anger for the Jews. He said, cut people's throats, shoot them in the head, they're just like dogs. These are all facts. These are all facts. So the evangelical system is built on man, and we're fair. He was asking me about Jehovah's Witness, they're a cult. He was asking me about Roman Catholics, they're a cult. I don't know one system, I don't know one system made of man that's of God. That makes sense, doesn't it? If it's made of man, it's not of God. Paul says keep the traditions he's ordained through God. God ordained through Paul. 2 Thess 2. These traditions that are being kept. Like, here's one. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not the Lord's Day. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. I've got articles on that. It's not the Lord's Day. It's a man-made tradition. Here's one for you. You look like a smart guy. How many days did Jesus say he'd be in the grave?
He said 2 and on the 3rd he would rise.
2 days. No, excuse me, 3 days, 3 nights. That's what he said. 3 days, 3 nights. Can you get 3 days and 3 nights for me from Good Friday evening to Sunday morning? You can't.
Yeah.
You can't even get it reckoning. Reckoning means use part of the days. Part of the days you only get 2 and 3. Here's the truth. Jesus died on a Wednesday. The high Sabbath was Thursday. The regular Sabbath was Saturday. He rose again on Saturday. Do you know why he rose on Saturday? He's our Sabbath rest, according to Hebrews 4. So, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Roman Catholic traditions. Not even true. And Jesus said in Mark 7, if you keep man-made traditions, you worship God in vain. That's what it says. So, we love you enough, I'm glad I met you, to get you to challenge. I was just telling this man, Jesus says his sheep come out of the world. He says the world will hate you. Now, they shouldn't hate me because I'm a jerk. They shouldn't hate me because I take their money. I don't take anyone's money. They shouldn't hate me because I'm abusive. The world hates me when I go preaching. Actually, the religious people hate me more than the world, but I consider them to be part of the world because of righteousness and truth and calling people out. And that's why they hated Jesus. I'm just doing a Bible study verse by verse through Matthew, and the Pharisees are all showing up, always showing up, trying to stumble him in the Word of God, using all kinds of traps, and Jesus uses the word of God and rightly refutes them and calls them hypocrites and man-pleasers and false men. And that's what the modern systems are, the modern religious systems are. So if you haven't been born again by that gospel and you haven't tested all the scriptures to come out of the world, how you act, talk, dress, the Bible teaches us how to dress, it does, how you spend your money, who you associate with, what you preach, if that hasn't happened to you, you really need to go examine yourself. Because I was a religious guy one time, carrying a Bible, going to Sunday church. Then they say, yeah, Jesus forgave you all your sins. And we'd all go back in the world and live much like the world. Sports, entertainment. Yeah, you shouldn't get drunk. You shouldn't be sleeping around and doing adultery and stuff. Even though people I knew were. Even though I was. Pastors never called us out of it. The pastors never told us, repent, come out of the world. If you went to church, you were good to go. And that's what I'm saying is, the truth of God is way up here. Sunday church is way down here. That makes sense? I just gave you a whole bunch of examples. I could spend 2 hours with you and give you a ton more. The gospel they preach, naming themselves, many of them name themselves after man, Lutheran, you know, not following the commandments of God completely, being like the world, not going out preaching the gospel. Jesus said, go preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything he's commanded. I challenge you. What's your first name?
Albert.
I'm James. This is my wife, Debbie. What's your name?
Natalie.
I'm sorry?
Natalie.
I challenge you. Show me one place in a building that's doing those three things. Biblically. I don't know of one. I travel the country. I don't know of one place in a building that's preaching the biblical gospel, making biblical disciples out of the world, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. I don't know one. And I get people all the time. They say, you're crazy to say that. And I said, here's my phone number. Here's my email. Show me one. How many people have invited me and showed me one?
It's because a lot of disciples aren't made in the 1 hour you spend on a Sunday morning.
Well, because the disciples aren't made at all. Because if you're going to say that, if they're not made in an hour, I look at the leadership, and they're not even biblical disciples. So people say to me, well, this guy's new to this church. He's only been here a year. And I go, you're the pastor. You've been here 30 years. You're worldly. You have a false gospel. You do Christmas and Easter. What's your excuse? My challenge is to you, Albert. Show me one. If you can, I'm a zealous man for the truth of God, and I have resources. I'm not a poor man. You can show me the true New Testament body in a building that's keeping all the commandments of God, the gospel, making disciples. I want to come see it. If it's what you say it is, we'll be their best workers. We'll go out. We'll preach. We'll recruit. We'll send. We'll train. I ain't seen it. What I see is just what the Bible says. We see a scattered remnant of people all over the world. And they're a lot like that guy that just left. You know what that guy just said to me? He goes, where are biblical churches around here? I said, don't hold your breath. And him and I had a long talk. He goes, that sounds right. He goes, I see it all compromised. It's about money. It's about man-made traditions. He goes, I want nothing to do with it. And that man reminds me of me. He's 62, I'm 60. He got stumbled by man-made religion. Now, it's going to be his fault on Judgment Day if he doesn't get his faith in order, get in the Word, follow Christ with all that he is. But that happened to me when I was 25. I was hanging around modern pastors thinking, this is great. If I can hang around them, I found them to be hypocrites, worldly. One guy was sleeping with his secretary in his office. I thought the most of him. Found out he was sleeping with his secretary in his office. The other guy was just worldly, carnal, cared about money more than the things of God. You know what it did to a young believer at 25? Stumbled me. I went back in the world. My fault. It's all my fault. But I want to be him. The Bible says if you stumble people, there better be a millstone around your neck, be cast in the ocean. And that's what these church systems do. They stumble people because God's standard is here, and you're just going to meet them in the park playing kickball, and you're going to bring them to about here, and you're going to leave them short. And so you've been gracious to listen. That's what my website's all about for free. We got the gospel. We have a 10-point test that covers a lot of things I just talked to you about. We expose a lot of false religions, but thousands of articles to teach people how to be biblical disciples, not to just do Sunday church. Christ will change your life if you enter covenant with him, not relationship. That's a lie. You have a relationship with your wife. I have a relationship with my wife. You're not hugging Jesus. You're not talking to him face to face. We have the Holy Spirit that he manifests through. We have the Word of God, and we follow him in a blood covenant. If that's happened to you, it will change your life, because you'll lose most of your friends, most of your family. You'll lose your church association, and Jesus will say, come out. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them, and I will receive you. If you stay in that, because mom's there, friends there, couples we like are there. We got to have fellowship, honey. In love, you're a fellowship idolater, and you're not following Christ with all that you are. Because Jesus said in the last days, I like to teach people this, Matthew 7, few are going to find eternal life. Do you ever look at the Greek and the Hebrew?
I'm not well versed in it.
You should. If you look at the Greek of that word few, it means a puny number of people are going to find eternal life. 8 got on the ark out of hundreds of thousands alive. 3 come out of Sodom and Gomorrah out of tens of thousands of people. 2 come out of Egypt out of 600,000 and enter into the Holy Land. Joshua and Caleb. 2. So the number is very, very small. Jesus, the greatest preacher that ever lived for 3 years, God himself raising the dead and healing the sick, had 120 people in the upper room. In Israel, when they feared God. In these last days, there's going to be so few true believers, and most are going to hear the terrifying words, away from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, because they keep sin and they keep the world and they keep false traditions, not the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, which will transform your life. So you've been gracious. You stood there and listened. Do you have any? I've been doing all the talking. Do you have any questions, comments, challenges? I'm ready.
I mean, part of my backstory is similar to yours in that of the church, I was originally raised Catholic, and I was sexually abused by a leader.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That's so common. Ratzinger, the Pope, they proved that before he was Pope, he knew guys were doing that stuff, and all he did was move them around. Yeah. Wicked.
But that's the
last of it. Their gospel's wrong. That's all paganism.
That's the idea of the organization. I came to faith because of my wife's discipleship, her persistence, the relationships that she built with me, not going to church on a Sunday morning.
So, and that's fine.
I do agree with some of those.
And that's fine. And here's the thing. I'm not demeaning. I'm not saying you don't have faith in Christ, but here's the thing. This is an appointed meeting. We've been here all summer. We never come to this park. We just picked this park there was a reason we picked it. I think it was sovereignty. I saw a billboard. We're driving up here. I saw a billboard for a music festival that's going to be here on September 10th. And I said, we should check that out because I go and I street preach all over. Well, we come and check this out. I met this guy. He goes, I haven't been in this park for 2 years. Now I meet you. I'm not demeaning that you don't have faith in Jesus, but here's the thing. God sends us truth and sends us seed and sends us messengers. I believe I'm a messenger of God. And when you hear the truth, then here's what it is. If you were disgruntled from your Catholic upbringing and that terrible thing they did to you, and you went like this in faith with the Reformed, God wants you to keep going like this. And he wants you to get to that place up here where you're testing, you're leaving all false ways, you're leaving man-made religion, you're coming out of the world, you're transforming yourself to be like this of Christ because of his love, grace, mercy, truth. He's going to call you to that. And if you fall short of that, you're falling short of the calling of Christ. And as I told Craig, no sin is forgiven that we don't repent and give to him. You don't get magical washing blood, water over you. Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. The Bible says repent and forsake your sin. And if you come and confess and forsake them, then you're cleansed and you're washed. If this was your wife, this is your wife. If she said to you, terrible, I have a boyfriend. I've had him for a year. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't want to destroy our marriage. And if you found it within you to forgive her, what's the first thing you're going to ask her to do?
Repent.
Which means what would she do?
Forsake her ways.
She'd throw his phone number away. I'm never going to see him again. Please forgive me. You'd say, okay, we'll start clean. I believe you. If she said, I'm probably going to go see him a couple times a year still. That sin isn't covered. It's not forgiven. And that's how man-made religion is, with the pagan traditions, the worldliness, all the false traditions, Sunday, the Lord's Day, Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, worldliness, money-taking, being just like the culture. None of that's forgiven unless you forsake it. So don't be a hypocrite. You just told me your wife's got a high standard. You should have. I have one for my wife, and she has one for me. Your standard with God should be even higher. And a lot of modern pastors tell you, you're going to sin all the time. You can sin a lot. God forgives you. He knows you're a sinner. But for their wife, their standard is way up here like yours. And that's hypocrisy. Because the Bible doesn't say you have to sin. Name me a sin that you can't stop. I challenge people all the time.
Thoughts.
Huh?
Thoughts.
Thoughts?
Yep.
Sure you can. The Bible says take every thought captive. So.
But it still means it existed.
Over time, over time, you can purge it. I've taken my thought life and my sinful life from a 10, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, not me, I'm not good enough to do this. It's down to a 1 or a 2. Okay, so we don't have to keep doing that. So we don't have to. When they tell you you're going to sin all the time, no, you don't have to. Now, you will either choose a sin, make a mistake, fall into it. Here's the big difference. Ready? Go read Hebrews 10:26. The Bible says, if we willfully sin, there's no sacrifice for sin, but a fearful indignation is going to devour God's enemies. You must turn from all willful sin. If you know stealing's wrong and you keep stealing, you're not covered. If you know adultery is wrong and you keep adulterating, you're not covered. If you know churchianity is wrong and you know now, if you test it, email me and prove me I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, God's word is right. I don't have the truth. His word. If you know that stuff is wrong and you keep doing it, you're not covered. It's in vain that you worship God in those ways. And this is the true test. How much do you love God? Are you willing to love God and serve him and lose your family, your friends? Yeah, the Bible even says you and I may lose our over the faith. You know, when I came to faith, my wife was not born again. She tells people all the time. She was a worldly, carnal feminist, churchgoer, Lutheran. When I decided to follow Christ, I said, I have to follow him. I'm tired of running. I wasn't born again until I was 45. I knew about Christ for 20 years. I was stumbled. I was worldly. I was carnal. You know what my first thought was? no way she's coming. It's my first thought. I had very little faith. No way she's coming with. But I said, I have to do this, Lord. I came home and I told her, I'm repenting, I'm following Christ. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm living a worldly carnal life. You're living a worldly carnal life. I've got to follow Christ. She goes, what do you mean? I go to church. I believe in God. I knew she wouldn't listen to me in her current state. I said, Debbie, you must be born again. So I told her. I said, go read in God's word for yourself. She went away in about for a week and reading, and I kept striving. We were living together still, but I mean, I kept striving. She came back a week later, angry at me. You knew all this. We got to be born again. We got to repent. We would have died in our sins. I said, yeah. What could I tell you? I was a big hypocrite. And I was spared. My wife repented, and within a month, we were both born again. Many men, many wives, they lose their partner for the truth of God. Jesus says, blessed are those who will lose husbands, wives, parents, careers, lands for my name's sake. If you're not willing to do that, you're not keeping the great commandment, Matthew 22, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That make sense? You got to be willing to lose it all. And in love, this is not evangelism. I don't know if you call it that. It's not. This is funistry. I call it funistry. This is fun. Kicking the ball around. If I show up at your event and street preach the gospel and call people out of their sin, you're going to see how much people really like the truth of God. You know who really likes it? People that come and want to talk about it. You're listening for a long time. I don't know what that means. You're either steaming inside mad at me, or you're going, I got to look into this. And I don't know which one it is. But I'm going to pray for you that the Holy Spirit, both of you, that the Holy Spirit will convict you, and you'll see that what I'm saying is true, and it's not my truth. It's the Word of God. And I back it all up on my website. And I offer to you, you don't have a pastor, get some of your men. Tell them about me. Let them go to the website. They're going to say, oh, they're a cult. They're workspace. They're legalists. Yeah, yeah, heard it all. They said that Paul was in a sect too. Then let's have a meeting. They come right to the spark. And let you and your men tell me everything I got wrong, biblically. I'll sit and listen. I'm a street preacher. I talk a lot. I'll sit and listen. You done? Are you done? Are you done? Are you done? My wife and I will take notes. I'll bring a brother. I got a brother in this area. I'll take notes. Then it'll be my turn, and I got a bunch of questions to ask you guys. Don't write me off without coming and telling me why I'm unbiblical, because I've stood here, sat here, gave you time to tell you why you're unbiblical, because I care for your souls. I don't want you to be turned away on Judgment Day. That's my offer to you. Come sit with me, my brother. Open the Word of God. We'll show you why the gospel has to be true against man-made religion. We'll show you why you can't keep pagan holidays. We'll show you why you can't be like the world. We don't use fleshly things to pull people in. The more fleshly things you use to pull people in, the more you got to use it to keep them. You go out into the world and you preach the gospel, and the sheep that will hear it come. Other people, they're not interested. That's how Jesus said it should be. We don't use gimmicks of the world to draw people to Christ. You end up with churchianity that way. So that's my offer. Does that sound good? Would you like to set up a meeting? And
I'll admit I'm not as versed in the Bible as you are, and I'm definitely not as versed as most pastors.
But let me ask you a question.
Because I'm relatively new in the faith.
Okay, are you calling yourself a Christian?
Yes.
Okay, are you born again?
I believe so.
Okay, I would like you to test that. I'm not saying you're not. Yeah. Test that to the Word of God, and the fruit that you're born again is the Holy Spirit. You know what's the fruit that you're born again? The Holy Spirit's going to rise up in you and go, seek truth. And you're going to find out that God's messenger just stood before you and told you the hard truth that's going to cost a lot. It cost you 99% of your friends. They won't come. Trust me. Been doing this a long time. Puny will come. And that's what's the fruit you're born again. If you go, I can't really refute what he's saying, but I don't want to do that because that'll cause me to leave here and I like fellowship. You're not born again. The Holy Spirit takes you to truth. Always. Out of all sin and error. I hope to hear from you.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a testing up. You guys have a website?
At Faith Reformed, nobody checks it.
We do.
It's an old congregation.
Okay.
All right. So they don't know how to use technology.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, because if they're not keeping biblical ways, I don't want them to spread it around too much. So that's good. What does Oasis mean? What is that?
Oasis is the park ministry that we're doing.
Oh, park ministry.
So getting out in the community.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Our goal is to people to open up the opportunity to share the gospel with them.
And that's the other thing too, you know, again, relationship evangelism. You don't find that anywhere in scripture. That's a very human fleshly thing. And you know why I can prove to you relationship evangelism doesn't work? Ready? How many years did you know your mother?
Every single year of my life.
Her mother just died at what, 80, 78? My parents knew me my entire life. They didn't want the gospel. They loved their false religion. They loved what they wanted. Friends that knew us our whole life, when we used to drink and party with them, they loved us. We go bring the gospel to them. We like the world. We like our false religion. Get out of here. Friendship evangelism only works when you water down the gospel and please people with things, and then they'll come follow you. If you use friendship evangelism, then preach the truth, they'll usually say, you tricked me. Kick ball in the park. Now you're telling me I got to repent and lose my life. But if you go out and tell them they got to lose their life. So test that. You don't see that in the Bible. They went out and they called people to repentance because of what Jesus has done. And then they called them to come and obey him and come out of the world. There's no friendship evangelism in that. When the prophets showed up in the Old Testament, nobody knew them. Tested them by their doctrine. That's how they tested them. Not because they hung around and got to know him. That's very fleshly. In Romans 8, it says we can't please God in the flesh. So you want to be a spirit-led man, and you want to be a biblical man, and you want to be led of God's word and truth. And that's what we're going to overcome, it says in Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb, that's a biblical gospel, by the word of our testimony, that means what God's done in you biblically, coming out of the world and false religion, and they love not their lives unto death. That means you're willing to lose your whole life. Lose false religion. Lose your family and friends. I hope you don't lose your wife. I hope I don't lose my wife. But I would if I had to for the faith. And that's what proves that we really love Christ, is he's our everything. He's our portion. And anything short of that is idolatry. So my offer to you is, I'll put a testing up. If you send me an email, I'll send you the testing when it's done. If not, look in a few... give us a week, probably. Look in a short order, and you'll see the testing up. And then if that testing is wrong, then I'd expect you to bring some men to sit down and correct us, because love corrects. I've corrected you. I would think love corrects, doesn't it? John 13 says, this is the sign that they love each other. So I hope you would love us enough. We're right in the area. We'll be for a while yet, till I head south. We should sit down and get the Word of God right. I got a brother that lives in Nakusa. He'd love to meet you. He'd love to have another brother to sharpen a sword on if you truly are a brother. So, you know, people always say, well, we got to have fellowship with somebody. Your fellowship has to be biblical. You didn't just marry anybody, did you? I got to marry somebody. Did you do that? No, I hope you didn't. I hope you picked, you know, a person that was quality and right for you. Fellowship should be even more important. You know why? You know why fellowship should be more important than who you pick for a marriage partner? I call her Sister Debbie. She could be my sister for eternity. She's only my wife for a few decades. So who you fellowship with is far more important than even who you married eternally. So you want to challenge all that and be willing to turn away from it if they won't repent. And if you need help, call me. I'll come visit them. I'll come talk to them. Invite me to a service. I'd love to preach the truth to them, and then they can all test it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
We care for your souls. Test yourself. That testing will be up. You got my email. My brother Kevin would love to help you. How old are you?
29.
Oh, he's what, 32? Yeah, you guys are, yeah. He's a brand new believer. He's very sharp, though. Very sharp in the word. And he would love to know another brother to, you know, just start the Bible study with and prove these things out. Again, I have no truth. Everything I preach to you is right from Scripture. And I would challenge you that man-made religion is built on a faulty system. The evangelical system is built on a faulty system that Christ, last thing, ready? Jesus is coming. And everybody makes Jesus out to be this namby-pamby, soft, loving guy that's just all love and just forgiveness. Go read 2 Thessalonians 8, 9, and 10. 2 Thessalonians 1. He's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. Faith and works. You are not saved by faith alone, grace alone. Not one Bible verse says that. Saving faith that has grace always has obedience. You tell me you love your wife, I'm sure you're faithful to her and you don't beat her. If you were unfaithful and beat her, you're a liar, right? So faith that is saving always has holiness and obedience. And that's what our whole entire faith life is built on, because of what Christ has done in us. And those false systems are not built that way. They're built on that you can keep sinning, that Christ is going to forgive you no matter what. He's coming, and here's the last point. He's coming to destroy the political systems that we shouldn't be part of, the entertainment system we shouldn't be part of. The Packers, I preached on there last year. This is not of God, Albert. This is wicked idolatry and worldliness. Guys going there dressed up like popes. Men walking around calling themselves Christians with no shirts on and their body spray painted. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming to destroy all of that, and including man-made religion. Mike, last question to you. Why would you spend your young lives building up false man-made religion that Jesus is coming to destroy? Spend your life because of His grace, His mercy, His love, His truth, His willingness to forgive you, His death, burial, and resurrection. Spend your life building up the biblical kingdom of God. That's what we strive to do. You got my contact info. I'd love to hear from you.
We'll definitely look into it.
Yeah, God be praised. We love you.